You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our proactive member and get access to expert strategy guides on personal and professional development, bonus episodes, and other exclusive contents. Visit activeaction.fm for more information. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Activation Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another amazing guest. Today, I'm sure you're going to have a thrilling experience because we have someone from the law enforcement agencies with high experience with us as a wonderful guest. And today we have with us Dustin Dobbin. And Dustin Dobbin is the CEO and founder of Tech on One organization. A little bit about Dustin is he is an internationally recognized security expert, Marine Corps veteran, a former SWAT operator, and the CEO of the rapidly growing high-risk security and executive protection firm. Dustin's career spans marine fast deployments, counterterrorism missions, violent crime investigations, and years on the front line of the American law enforcement. Today, Dustin uses that experience to lead and train elite private security teams across Colorado and beyond, specializing in workforce violence mitigation, executive protection, and advanced tactical training for high-risk environments. Good afternoon, Dustin. Thank you so much for joining this podcast. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. The intro always sounds better when other people say it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a wealth of experience, Dustin. I have to say, I was a bit intimidated before when I was thinking of interviewing you. But I'm sure our listeners would learn wonderful things from you and, you know, your experience firsthand with working in the U.S. Marine, followed by the law enforcement agencies, and now how wonderfully you use those experiences into your own organization today in, you know, developing a security and training like elite private security teams, even in Tech on One. So we'll discuss all about that today in this podcast. For listeners who don't know you, who are you, Dustin Dobbin, if you want to tell a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, no reason to be intimidated, first and foremost. Definitely easy to talk to. You hit the nail on the head. You know, I grew up in kind of a rough childhood in a small town in Arizona here in the United States. Due to life circumstances, I had to join the Marine Corps I chose to join the Marine Corps. And I joined at the age of 17, so very young. And I grew up in a real strict childhood. From there, the Marine Corps just kind of fit perfectly, another strict organization for me to be a part of. during the time of me getting out was downsizing. The military was downsizing, so there wasn't a whole lot of options. Then I got out of the Marine Corps and jumped right into law enforcement where, you know, I hit the ground running. I wanted to do everything. I was still very young and ambitious and, quite frankly, not very smart because I was so young. So I tried to do everything. I was a gang task force detective. I was a general detective. I joined the SWAT team. I was very proactive. I went out and, you know, looked for high crime areas and, you know, I wanted to go head first in law enforcement. Ultimately, though, that caused a little bit of burnout and, you know, years of high risk and high threat environments, that stuff will take a toll on you if you don't pay attention. So ended up taking a break. I left law enforcement. I left the tactical space altogether for a few months just to try and get my head right. Some life changes happened even more, and I ended up moving to Colorado, and I knew my story wasn't over yet. And I jumped back into private security contracting and realized that with all my skills and my passion for it, I realized I could do a lot better job than most of the companies out here. So I formed my own company and built the team, and we're just excelling and doing wonderful things now.
That's so wonderful to hear from you, Dustin. You mentioned in the very beginning in your life when you were 17 years old, you joined the U.S. Marine Corps. Was there anything specifically that actually motivated you to join the Marine at that time, at that age?
Yeah, so there was a couple things. Growing up, my stepfather, he was a Vietnam veteran and he was in the
Army.
Yeah, he was a Bronze Star recipient and he was really tough on us, but even he would admit that the Marine Corps was the best. So that kind of motivated me. And then my wife's brother, he had joined the Marine Corps a few months prior. And my wife had wrote him a letter in boot camp saying that I was looking into joining the military and I was talking to an Army recruiter. And he ended up writing back and said, no, if he's going to be my brother, he needs to be a Marine. So I kind of went, and met the Marine Corps recruiter and I followed through with it. So I'm happy with the decision for sure.
That's wonderful to know, Dustin. I know a lot of us who are not into the military, that world or in the law enforcement world, we see a lot of these in the movies or in the shows, but oftentimes, the real world perspective is much different from what we see in these movies, you know. Can you let our audiences know from your time in the Marine, what did you do as a Marine?
Yeah, so I joined the Marine Corps and I initially had picked a job to be motor transport. So I was going to like drive trucks and or be a mechanic on trucks. But we found out my wife was pregnant and, you know, we ended up having my daughter. So I needed to leave. I needed to get a job. I needed something. I needed income, insurance, you know, all that stuff. So I kept bugging my recruiter. And finally, he was like, look, I can get you out of here next week, but you're going to have to change to an open contract. And what that means essentially is the Marine Corps picks your job for you. And I didn't care at that time. That's all I wanted was to get out there and start having insurance and money to support my family. And I ended up going. I got picked for infantry after boot camp, and then I went through school of infantry, and they sent me off to another training. I didn't really know where I was going, and I ended up in Virginia and was going to security forces school, where I ended up being selected for FAST Company, which is Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team. Essentially a team that trains all the time and deploys all over the world to protect U.S. assets or naval institutions and things like that. It's very exciting stuff. But it was a split contract. So I did half of my contract in the FAST teams. And then I had to go fulfill an infantry obligation, which was perfectly fine by me. I didn't mind going. And I ended up being sent to 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines in 29 Palms, California, and deployed to Afghanistan.
Well, how was your experience in Afghanistan, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I mean, it was Afghanistan, right? Like it was good days and bad days, but the biggest takeaway from my Afghanistan deployment was the leadership. I was with Lima Company, 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines, and I experienced some of the best leadership to this day while I was in Afghanistan. Most of them I still talk to every day, which is a blessing. But yeah, the leadership was the biggest takeaway.
Wonderful, Dustin. And you mentioned you were in the Marine for a couple of years and then you got out of it. Do you think one of the factors that motivated you was staying away from family for a long time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, deployments are never easy. So I did 4 deployments in the almost 6 years that I was active. So yeah, I was gone all the time. And in between deployments, you know, I was in during the war. So if you're not deployed, you're training to deploy. So even if I was home or straight stateside, I was always gone for training and stuff. So that was definitely a big factor. But also the Marine Corps was downsizing. So when I went and I talked to the career planner about reenlisting, there wasn't a whole lot of options for me. I had tattoos, and that was a big no-no back then. That prevented me from doing certain special duties and stuff. So my options were basically stay in, do another deployment, a couple deployments actually, stay with an infantry unit. And my brother-in-law, he had gotten out and got a job at the prison. So I just kind of followed him. He said he was able to get me a job, and that seemed like the best option.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever you need to do for your own and your family's betterment is what we decide to do. And you mentioned then you joined the law enforcement organization. So I understand your decision, why you went into that, harnessing the experience you had from the Marine. What type of things did you do while you were in those law enforcement organizations, and what were those?
Yeah, so I started at the prison with my brother-in-law. I was trying to take advantage of all the veteran benefits I could at that time, as far as like education goes. So I was enrolled in school. I was enrolled in a psychology program because I didn't really know what I wanted to do with, you know, education wise. And when they saw that, they offered me a CO3 position, which is like a case manager type position. And it was miserable. It was a terrible job. The prison environment, it takes a special kind of person. And God bless those people for doing what they do. But I did that for almost 3 years before I started testing for law enforcement agencies. And I got selected. Finally, I got a police academy date, like just in perfect timing, because a riot had just happened at the prison. And I went through the whole riot and everything. And then afterwards, like, we were tasked with cleaning up the disaster, basically. And I already had a date to go to the police academy. So I just kind of asked my supervisor if I could leave early and spend some time with my family before I went to the police academy. But I went to the police academy. I graduated top of my class. I think we graduated with about 12 graduates. From there, I hit the ground running. Again, I was young. I was dumb. I wasn't thinking clearly. I was ambitious. You know, I wanted the whole world, and I wanted to experience everything. I was on the street for about a little over a year, and a position opened up with the gang task force. And, you know, having worked in the prison, one thing that I did get experience with was security threat groups or gangs. So I kind of felt like I had a little bit of an advantage when it came to the testing for that position. I ended up testing and beating out a lot of the senior guys, which was very humbling. I got selected. I went and worked gangs for a year before I ended up being pulled out for staffing issues at my home agency. So from there, I went, I worked the street again for a while, and then I lateraled to another agency that was starting up their SWAT team. They were under new leadership. Seemed like an okay decision at the time, and it ended up leading to my demise of my law enforcement career. But before that happened, I was on their SWAT team, and I was a detective for them. And that's basically what I did. I went through law enforcement about 8 years, and during COVID and all the crazy times and nonsense that was going on at that time. So,
and wonderful, a wealth of experience you have, Dustin, and that actually all translated to what you're doing now, having from real life experiences while you were working to bring discipline around the gang activities. I know those were brutal things. And oftentimes when you were in the law enforcement, I personally would fear for my own life and well-being, where that was immediate threat. How could you keep yourself mentally calm during those situations?
Yeah. So again, I think I probably credit my leadership in the Marine Corps. I trained all the time. We trained high stress, high threat environments, and then we deployed to high stress and high threat environments. And one of the strong leaderships of the or traits of any Marine is that you're calm under pressure, and I've always been that type of person where I kind of thrive in the chaos a little bit, in stressful situations for whatever reason. I can think very clearly. it's the situations where I have too much time to think really where I get myself in trouble. Working gangs wasn't, I enjoyed it. Having worked at the prison, I learned how to talk with respect to convicts, and that helped me a lot. There was only a handful of instances with the gang unit where guns or knives or things were pulled, and it was resolved pretty easily. Where things kind of got crazy in law enforcement was during COVID. It was homicide after homicide. Like, people were going crazy because they were locked down and the pandemic was causing so much stress in people that, you know, they were running around killing each other. Crazy, crazy stuff. But, again, in those situations, those are where I thrive. It's the situations where I'm stuck behind a desk and I have too much time to think. Those were the ones that get me in trouble. I'm much better at it now.
That's wonderful to hear, Dustin. Thank you so much for sharing that insights, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners would not have if we don't have guests like you. For us, it's a wonderful experience to see how, you know, tackling challenging situation, the great honorable US and Canadian law enforcement teams do day and night to keep us.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
The common folks. Can I ask, you were in the Marine and then you were in the law enforcement organizations for so many years. What did you most enjoy about your time serving the country?
Yeah, so probably the team aspect. In the Marine Corps, again, we were training or deployed all the time. You get to know the people you're with. They're like brothers and sisters for you. And they truly become like family. And same thing with law enforcement. If you're with a good agency and they really instill those values, you don't look at work as a job. You kind of look at, oh, cool, I get to go to work today and be with my friends and hang out and work together. So yeah, probably the team aspect, the camaraderie.
Okay. And now you have got transitioned out of that phase and you have your own company, Tacon One. Let's talk about that. So what does your company do? Actually, can you walk us through a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So I originally, again, I had moved and I started doing private security contracting. I was working for all kinds of companies. I mean, at one point I was probably working like upwards of 10 different companies taking contracts, and I was making good money. And I took some more permanent type positions as the director of training for one, and then a nighttime director of operations type role. But what I was realizing was, a lot of big security companies, or just security companies in general, they would hire anybody, put them through just enough training to be able to legally get them their license and then slap them on post. And some people weren't even doing that. They were just illegally putting people on post. And I realized they lacked what I had, all the experience, and they lacked the team aspect. They didn't treat their team like people. They were just disposable, it seemed like. And I didn't like that. So originally I opened my company and I just wanted it to be like a tactical training company, because I'd been a tactical trainer pretty much my entire life, teaching all kinds of tactics, all kinds of classes. And then somehow the clients caught word, like, well, you have a lot of experience. Why don't we just hire you? And things just kind of escalated from there. And next thing I know, like, clients, they talk to one another, and we were getting more and more clients, and we were growing the team, one team member at a time. And now we're just this thriving security company. And, you know, we really push ourselves to be the best in the industry. We are truly a team, and that's what makes us different.
Can you let me know, Dustin, again, what does Tacon do? What services do you offer? And what makes your company different from these other security and training companies?
Yeah, so we do anything from unarmed security, armed security, security patrols, executive protection, close protection, any high-risk security. We just formed a ghost team, which is our global high-risk operational security team. So that'll be our deployable unit that can go to other countries and work those high-risk security contracts. But we've done everything from secure transports to expensive cargo or high-valued items. transports for high value people, executive protection for celebrities, for political figures. I mean, you name it. We do anything security related. And then we also offer all of the training as well. So any sort of tactical training where licensed providers, firearms instructors, defensive tactics instructors, any sort of tactical training that you or your company, your security company, law enforcement unit, military unit may need, we can offer those trainings as well.
Thank you for walking us through that, Dustin. And is there any, you know, minimum benchmark or qualification anyone needs to have to join the organization or to receive some of these trainings?
Yeah, so great question. As far as the training goes, no, we can train anybody. So, and we can customize a training curriculum as well. So if you're looking for, you know, just home defense for you and your family or situational awareness and travel planning for you and your family, we can create that curriculum just for you and tailor it to however you need it. As far as minimum qualifications to join us, to be a part of the team, we primarily hire military, law enforcement veterans, or people with at least 5 years of high-risk security experience. And that's not to say we won't hire somebody else. We won't make an exception. We always take that into consideration. We offer all the training, but even the law enforcement and military guys who come and join us, we also put them through our training as well. So the background and the experience is just kind of the minimum standard, and we elevate them to the standards of our team. So, but yeah, I mean, anyone can apply. We'll take any sort of experience into consideration, but we do primarily try and give veterans and law enforcement and high-risk security guys a home as part of the team.
Thank you for sharing that. And there are many other security organizations that provide similar training that is currently in the market. How does Tech and One differ from those organizations, and what is like your specialty?
So what we do different is we vet our teammates. We give everybody an opportunity and we provide them training. We'll send them to training courses. I continue to learn. I continue to go to trainings. I pass on a lot of my training and experience to the team. But what we do different is we tailor everything personalized to the client. For instance, we have one client who, it's a big Fortune 500 company, and they wanted a specific type of uniform. So we created a uniform just for them that blends in and makes us embedded with their team. What I mean by that is we mimicked their colors, their company colors. So our uniform matches them, and we tailor the services to where we truly are embedded and we're a part of their team and they're a part of our team. So we work together. And you know, on the executive protection side, again, we are always seeking feedback on how to improve and how to be better for the next client. And, you know, the clients seem to really appreciate that they would get an input into how we run our company, and that causes them to come back. They want to know, they want to feel that personalized aspect to the client services, and 100% professionalism is number one for us. And the client always gets what they want.
Thank you so much, Dustin, for sharing that. It also contains the wealth of experience that you yourself bring, and the trainees get to learn from you and implement those for their own growth and development. One thing really caught my eyes when I was browsing your website is you also provide training for detectives, for private investigators. So that seemed very interesting to me. I had one more question regarding Tech on One. So if someone typically enrolls into your program, how long does it take for them to accomplish some of those certificates or some of those courses?
Yeah, so a great question. Some of them have minimum requirements, right? So if they wanted to enroll, for instance, the Colorado Springs Guard Licensing Program, those are a minimum of 24 hours. So 16 hours in the classroom and then 8 hours with us on the range. And then we always go a little bit above and beyond. It's probably more than 24 hours. And we give a lot of homework and stuff too, because we want people to go through our training programs and feel like they really accomplished something. And they're not just getting a piece of paper at the end of it. They've, like you said, they've gained a little bit of professional development, right? And so we take that very serious. And each course is different. Some take longer than others. We have an academy that runs. It's a week long. We'll be putting some fresh people through that here shortly. But Yeah, typically, I mean, if you send us a message on the website or, you know, through LinkedIn or something like that, we typically respond within 24 hours, usually less. And then we schedule dates. We customize it and personalize it to the client. So anybody can come and take any class that they want, and we make it happen on their schedule.
Thank you so much, Dustin. Wonderful insight. Dear audiences, if you are looking into the specific kind of security trainings, if you want to learn more, even, you know, how detectives think, if you want to have some of those knowledge for your benefit and others, please feel free to check out TACON One. The website is www.tacon1.com. We'll also have the link in our descriptions of the podcast. And if you specifically have any questions, go to our website, activeaction.fm. Just type Dustin's name and you will see his profile. Just go into that and visit the website, visit his socials. If you have any question, I'm sure Dustin would be open to receiving those. Dustin, you have recently published a book. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. My book is, it's basically the story of TACON One, how it came about. I start from childhood and let the reader in on some vulnerabilities of my own and take you through the whole experience of from childhood through the Marine Corps, through law enforcement, through my collapse, so to speak, and then how I picked myself up and ended up getting back into the tactical world and then forming such a thriving and wonderful team with TACON One. So it's just a memoir and, you know, hopefully helps other people too who may be feeling down or, you know, they face some setbacks or some changes in their life and they don't know how to navigate it. Hopefully they can find some comfort in the pages knowing that they're not alone. And, you know, they can hear my story and I'm always available. Like you said, reach out to me and I'll help you best I can. But yeah, the book's just basically my story.
I'm sure it's a really interesting story as well. And dear listeners, if you are into looking to getting insight, what actually happens in those life for the Marines, for the law enforcement organization individuals, I'm sure you would be interested in checking out Dustin's book. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Dustin. Anything you would like to tell others who may be struggling? What can they do to do better?
Yeah, of course. So, and I'll say this, I'm hoping the listeners or the people watching this or listening, they hear me say like, oh, wow, and talk about my setbacks and my challenges that I've had. And they think, wow, like this guy, he went through the Marine Corps, he been in law enforcement his whole adult life, almost 20 years of high stress stuff. And he had a mental breakdown, essentially. What I found out is I'm not alone and neither are you. So your cup will slowly fill up. And if you don't drain it every once in a while, it will overflow and it's going to catch up to you. So if you're facing some challenges in life and some setbacks, take a minute, take a step backwards, reassess everything, and then figure out the most strategic and tactical way to move forward for yourself, what works for you, whether it's changing your career completely or maybe just taking a break, getting your head right. Some things that really put it in perspective for me was people I looked up to, some of those leaders throughout the military and law enforcement. I started to hear about their mental breakdowns and their challenges that they were facing, and that put it in perspective for me. If those guys faced it and I thought they were indestructible, but if they were going through it, that tells me that what I was going through was normal and it was meant to be, and I don't regret any of it because it's led me to where I'm at right now. And that's the most important thing, is nothing is the end until you say so. So there's still more story for you. You write it, you're in charge of it. Nobody controls your life but you. Pick yourself up and find the motivation you need to keep pushing forward.
Thank you so much, Dustin, for those wonderful words of motivation, which came from your own experiences, the mental breakdown that you had. And being in the law enforcement and the Marine is one of the toughest professions and the things you can imagine. During those tough times, if you were able to go back up and, you know, take a step back and analyze and assess the situation, and then have your own mental well-being, I'm sure that would be a lot motivating for others as well who are kind of struggling into our own aspects, into our own works and space. So wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Dustin, for sharing that. And Thank you so much for your time again, my friend, for joining to this podcast and sharing your very valuable wisdom.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. The book it's called Perseverance, The Operator's Mindset. Mm-hmm. It's available on Amazon, all kinds of other platforms too, Barnes & Noble. It's out there. So just look it up and find it. But I'll connect with you afterwards and I'll send you a signed copy personally. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dustin. I appreciate that. Dear listeners, thank you so much for sticking to this episode this long. And I'm sure you have enjoyed the episode that we had today with our esteemed guest, Dustin Dobbin. And we did learn a lot. We got some insights on how life actually looks into the shoes who is working into the Marine Corps team, working with law enforcement agencies, and how wonderful work they're doing to keep us safe. Take care, stay active, and take action. I'll meet you in another episode with another amazing guest. Take care till then.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Visit our website, activeaction.fm, to enjoy all episodes and other exclusive contents on self-development. Take care, stay active, and take action.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.